Good morning. Looks like we got some flow here.
Hello, good morning.
Thanks for joining today. Elena, is this your first discovery meeting or have you
I
come to a
think
couple
so,
others?
yeah.
Okay, well, welcome.
Thank you.
Morning, everyone, or afternoon, or evening, depending on where you are in this world. Happy February. Just gonna wait a few more moments for everyone to come in. We'll be talking a bit of a talk, EDS and patron empowerment with Folio today. All right, I think I will go ahead and get started. Hi, my name is Nicole Trujillo. For those who are new to this meeting, I am the chair of the Discovery SIG, but joined by many active members who also take on a lot of roles and lead meetings at the SIG. Today we have a topic that actually is very close to my experience with Folio and EDS. And it's about EDS and basically features, updates, who gets what. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share my screen to today's agenda. Do-do-do. Okay, can you all see the agenda? Perfect. And I'll go ahead and put that in the chat as well. Do-do-do. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, so basically this topic came, I was chatting with Tara at Index Data. So at University of Colorado Boulder, we have Folio as hosted by Index Data, and I believe a couple of other people in this meeting do as well. And as everyone knows, that you can get Folio hosted by EBSCO, one of the main hosting providers, but there it's an open source product, so there are a slew of other ways you can host, as well as self-host if that is your option. So a question that has been arising, and those of us who do not go with the EBSCO hosting option, is some of these Folio and EDS integrations are not coming down the pipeline to us. They are only available for EDS and EBSCO-hosted Folio. So here's just some slides. And this is really, it's not a presentation. I know it's in slides form, but it's not a presentation. It's my way of trying to track in a visual manner exactly what we are missing, so that when I can talk to customer support, I talk to our vendors, we can go into what we're looking for and why to help prioritize the development of some of these integrations for us. So, I do want to mention that we can do some stuff. Like, it's not like all the integrations are off the table. So that's been really promising. The volume and information issue information in our attack has been showing for us, which is great. The license terms was one where this was only available to EBSCO hosted Folio members for a while, but then they made it available to everybody. So we were able to set this up. So that was great and a good example of how, like, we understand sometimes things will be available for EBSCO and Folio customers before we get it. We're just wanting to get it eventually. As well as adjust status display. We are now investigating whether or not to adjust our status for restricted because we do not like the word restricted. We're thinking of changing it to in-library use only. We're doing a kind of a analysis of where we're using restricted. So the fact that we can do this in EDS which is one of our main searches, is great. So we will be doing that soon. There are a couple of like ones we don't know about. We don't use locate. We don't hide the due date. So that's kind of in our gray area of like we don't know if we can or cannot do. But the big ones that we can't do is things like show that holding statement.
Nicole,
Yeah.
I'll just chime in about the due date. We didn't try to hide it, but we did run into an issue where it was displaying in a really ugly format, and we weren't able to adjust that. And
Ah.
we tried to get EBSCO's help, and it didn't really pan out.
So that was interesting. So I think I have a screenshot here of that exact thing. Maybe. I'm looking at my tiny slides. Format date. So this is what was happening, right?
Oh, yep, that's
Yeah.
it.
Okay. So yeah, so the due date is coming up in the like ISO standard full version. We were able to get this fixed for us.
Interesting.
I know. Like we were. So that was awesome. We were
Okay, maybe we
happy.
need to try again.
So you might want to, this one's like a gray area. You can point to us, be like, you did it for her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, what specifically was said is that it's no longer best practice to use the mapping table that was provided to CU Boulder,
Oh, yeah.
and that there's no intention of providing it for others. So I don't know if it will eventually go away for CU Boulder. So something
And
to keep in mind.
we've had backslides in the past too, where like this came up and we would go to customer support and we'd be like, oh, what is this? And then it would go back. So that is very true, Tara. Like I don't know. But this one is an interesting one in that they know it's an issue. They've started playing around with some solutions on the back end, but they haven't found a sustainable one for all the customers who need this, is what I'm guessing is going
Yeah,
on
that sounds
here.
right.
Yeah, and so this is another one, sort by call numbers for periodical. So Modi, you've been the person who I've been going to for information on how EDS can do things for periodicals because they've put a lot of work into this, you know. So currently, one of the big things is that our periodicals do not show up in order, and I think I have a screenshot of that where it's, 33, 53, 49, 9, 52. That is not any order under the sun that I know of. Whereas this is Chalmers, and they have. Well, yeah, 2015, 2012, 2011. So they do have an order in that periodicals list. So this is another area. I know many of us, especially those who have a lot of periodicals, might struggle with an EDS. And maybe I can take a pause here. Who here has EDS and is trying to get their periodicals display and is,
Nicole,
yeah.
actually, I'm not sure we do have it sorted by call number. So I think this is just a coincidence, or this is the way it was received. If you look at another one I'm looking at now, it's a messy order.
Yeah, do you have that link? I can pull it up.
So you need to log in when I send you a link like this. So I don't think it will work. I can send you a screenshot.
Yes. I'm like, do I know off the top of my head how to put in the guest stanza?
So I sent a screenshot. In the chat.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I'm seeing here you got your 2022 and then 2020 kind of interspersed.
Yeah.
So, this is a good question.
Maybe it's our fault. I see a dot is missing.
Maybe it's a former thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I think we've had I've noticed this question come up in Slack before. Like, for people who do use EDS, how can you display periodicals in a way that makes sense to your users?
It's been a while since I thought about this. I'm not sure. I need to check it. I see here many format issues with this call number. So maybe that's the thing. Anyone else who has it? Yes, who can tell me if it's sortable or not?
Is everybody else kind of having the same issue with trying to sort the periodicals?
I don't know if any of our libraries that have a large amount of periodicals have this issue, but I can look into it.
And Damien, we only show periodicals in ViewFind. Yes, and in ViewFind, so I know with the RTAC, it sends it in a not an issue in Blacklight for Sarah. And I think, right, both for ViewFind and Blacklight, there's something you have to do on the discovery side to get the order you want. Like, currently, the API cannot send a specific order. Like, you can't set an order in Folio. Okay, some people have very few periodicals.
So, sorry, I was late. I just got online. It's
No
early this
worries.
morning, and my commute to
Understood.
campus was cold. Anyway, we don't have an issue with sorting, but I will say that when it comes to discovery layer and periodicals, our issue is that there's no really good holdings statement. I mean, there's a public note in your holdings that you can expose, but short of staff having to input that public note statement and update it and maintain it, we really wish that it was a little bit smarter around our orders and could do enumeration and chronology in a way that made sense and gave us just a statement to give to users about a periodical range that we have without that having to be created or maintained by staff. So that's our wish around periodicals, but it doesn't have anything to do. We control the sort order and how each individual volume appears in the discovery layer.
Okay, so that's interesting. So with the new serials app in Folio, right? Wasn't that one of the fields? If you use that new serials app, it automatically populates this discovery display field that does kind of exactly that.
It does, but we have not had great success, to be honest with it.
So you use the serials app, but the display that it comes up with is not.
I am saying all of this with a major caveat. I am fairly certain that we started to use the Serials app in production fairly recently, but this is not, yeah, I'm also behind. But that has been on our wish list. And yes, I do remember that there was a fix put in. My memory is that it was not exactly fixing it for us.
Okay.
And that might be just that we have a ton of periodicals. We have a lot of old data in those periodicals. That it might just be a Stanford issue.
Right. So when you migrated, there was no like holding statement to already migrate, or do you
There
just have a
was,
okay.
well, no, there wasn't because we came from Circe and Symfony created it for us on the
Okay.
fly.
Okay. Okay.
But I can check in and make sure that we're actually using the Serials app and that it's still a problem for us. It's just an area I haven't gotten the latest on after our latest upgrade.
Okay. No, that's good to know. And like, I almost feel like that should be a future discovery topic of like periodicals. Like,
Yeah,
let's talk
periodicals is
about
and orders is rough. Yeah.
where we are with those today. But thank you, Marie, for the Chalmers information. So this actually, I can just like reach out to customer support. This might not be something that's supported for anybody right now.
I think we would also be interested in a future cereals discussion.
Cool.
Just putting that out there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of work has been done, I feel, but it would be nice to get a temperature of the room to see how people have incorporated that work. Like, because I know here at Boulder, we have not started using the cereals app, and that's not my department. I don't know why, but it's like maybe we just have so few incoming cereals that the workflow we have right now is working. But yeah, that automatically generate holdings would be a nice feature as well. I'll bring this down here and we can just kind of make a note to come back to the periodicals conversation. Format date, as we've been talking about, we cannot show loan type. Does anyone here use the loan type in the display? Marty, I know you do, right?
We do in five colleges.
Five colleges uses
Yeah,
it.
it's actually really useful for ebooks because we have like a loan type of like internet, and one of the unusual things because we're a consortium in a single tenant, is that there are like ebooks that one campus will have that another won't, and students are always like, "Well, why can't I get access to that book?" And I'm like, "Because they have a different license, So if it's just, if it's at Amherst but it's online, I'm like, you can take the free bus and get that ebook if you really, really need it."
Yeah, that's an extra, like, that's a very interesting complication of consortium license or consortium sharing, but you're not sharing necessarily licenses for all the resources.
Right.
Yeah, and so how do you kind of let your users know? And I think we have a similar situation that law is a part of our consortium and they have e-resources that we can't use. But I don't think it's, they're tiny compared to us, so I don't think it's like as noticeable.
Yeah, it's also really useful for reserves, or like one copy of something's on reserve, so we have like reserves for our loan, and then something else can be like a standard loan.
Yeah, and that's why we're looking at it right now is the reserves, because we've put it in as like a location is how we got around that, but it's not an elegant solution. Does anyone else display loan type right now? Or is anyone else planning or thinking about displaying loan type to their users?
We display it for reserves at Stanford.
Oh, that's right, Sarah, you do.
I could definitely see this being useful for some of our libraries, but I don't think anyone's thought to ask for it yet.
Good to know. And it is interesting. One of the reasons we've not really pursue this is because we cannot display it in EDS. We can in ViewFind. So we're like, do we just confuse people a little bit of like, well, you have to go to EDS to check to, or you have to go to ViewFind to check it out anyways, or place a hold. So that has been one we're really interested in seeing. Now, I will say we got an update, I think, from customer support where they did say they could do loan type for us, but they would have to append it to location. So they are seeing it through the feed. They just don't have a separate column for it. And they did give us an enhancement request for this to get that column maybe sometime in the future. So this is another one where I think there's hope, right? Like, I think if enough people want this, that the information, they're at least seeing the information on their side. They just don't have a place to put it right now for us. And I saw a question from Lena, what is ICS? So a lot of times when working with like EBSCO support, they'll talk about the ICS layer. And like, if anyone from EBSCO is here and wants to correct me, please do. But I believe that is kind of the way they've been dealing with some of the shortcomings of the Folio API. To get customers the features they want is they have locate, their catalog locate. And locate It's not just the UI, but there's stuff it does on the back end as well to make certain things happen. So that's kind of what the ICS layer is. It's this like middle layer between the API and the UI where it transforms some of this information into the formats that the users want to see. I'm going to pause there just to, in case anyone wants to correct me on my summary. So that's been my understanding of like why we can't get some of this stuff, right? Like they're like, you don't have locate. And if you don't have locate, you're not going to get the transformation. If you're not going to get the transformation, we can't show this. That's a good question, Tara. Is ICS the same as locate? In my mind, it is, right? In my mind, from what I've talked to EBSCO-hosted Folio customers, it's because they locate is included in their price, if you will, that like they're able to get these features. So ICS and locate are kind of, in my mind, the same thing.
So, is it possible to get locate if you are not hosted by EBSCO currently? Like, if you really want this stuff, can you just get ICS or get locate or whatever piece can be broken off?
So I can chime in here from EBSCO.
Thanks,
So
Bonnie.
currently, to use Locate, you do need to have your Folio hosted by EBSCO. Same with the patron empowerment functionality.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, and Bonnie, is there like is okay, and Mondro, we have EBSCO hosted it, but we're told Locate would be an extra cost. So are you, if you don't have Locate, can you get not get like patron empowerment?
So you can still use patron empowerment if you're not leveraging Locate as a separate OPAC UI. Just only patron empowerment, like I noted, if you're hosting through EBSCO.
Okay. So, and that was kind of my last point of the thing we can't get. That's our big thing, right? This is the thing we kind of promised our users when we went live in 2022. And then we're like, never mind, we lied. Was any patron empowerment, right? And this was a different because in the old UI, I believe you could get patron empowerment even if you were not an EBSCO hosted Folio. The new UI, only EBSCO hosted Folios can get patron empowerment. And then so going back to kind of the ICS layer versus locate, which from this conversation, it sounds like they are actually two different things. Like EBSCO hosted Folio is going to get that ICS layer, whether or not they have purchased the locate catalog. So maybe,
Yeah,
and it's,
that's
oh, go
also
ahead.
my understanding. My understanding is that this is a some kind of middleware between Folio and the EBSCO user interfaces. So they do some things in the ICS layer, so they don't have to do them both in Locate and EDS. And I'm still wondering why it shouldn't be possible to get this as a non-EBSCO hosted customer, because the API is the same for Folio. I don't think EBSCO has another API for Folio. So they still have to use the API to get that information into the ICS layer. And I'm wondering why they don't offer this don't offer this to customers who haven't their Folio system hosted by EBSCO. So I'm wondering if that's some kind of marketing decision, or it's really a technical thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I can chime in there as well. So for the most part, it's a sales and marketing decision to differentiate EBSCO's offering for EBSCO-hosted Folio. But I can go back and talk with our leadership team to see if we want to consider any other options. But for now, it's a differentiator for EBSCO-hosted Folio to have this additional functionality.
Yeah, that's good to know. I think when we were sold a product that hadn't been decided yet, my guess is, at least it was not communicated to us. But I know things happen and have been happening very fast. So, and even right now, there's probably decisions being made that will kind of affect this. But it would be kind of good to know for this group, you know. We are here to advocate for technical improvements to Folio, to the Folio API, if that is the blockage for some of these things, right? Like if there's certain things that can't happen because the information is just not flowing, and EBSCO's like, we have to do this whole workaround, and like unfortunately we can only offer it to EBSCO hosted customers. That would be something this group could work on. However, if it's like purely a like we could do it, we're just deciding not to because we want to create value for our product, that would be something that it's important to communicate to your customers just so they, we don't waste time thinking, oh, it's a technical issue and try to solve it here, or that we can advocate for ourselves, in the customer space of like, hey, like, so if you're not offering this, like, how do we get it? Like, is it an extra cost? Do we have to buy locate? Like, what is our workarounds? Because if the only workaround for patient empowerment, which is like one of the core functionalities, it then becomes like, do we give up Folio or do we go with we go Almo Primo, right? Like, that becomes our decision. And we'd rather not go there. But like, the whole reason for going with an EBSCO product was because we wanted to support open software, and patron empowerment for us was like critical functionality, not a nice to have. But then that's another question here of what can we define as critical functionality? Like, is the periodical display being an order critical functionality? And then how do we communicate that to the vendors as well? And I just have a couple of slides on things in patron display. And I want to just also recognize that, like, I'm saying patron empowerment as this big word, but like EBSCO has done a ton of work on their patron empowerment experience for the user and continues to do a ton of work on the patron empowerment experience for the user. So, working on request display, ability to set custom notes for request, ability to place holds, which I think is coming up. No, that's released. Yeah, so working on the multiple item being able to place hold problem that we've discussed in this SIG in the past. So that would be another question. Like, if EBSCO decides, hey, we're going to offer non-EBSCO hosted customers patron empowerment, it's going to be an extra cost. Like, what features would we get for the patron empowerment? Would we get out all the improvements? Would it just be like a basic experience? And this would be an enhanced experience for EBSCO hosted? That would be another question I have. I'm going to just pause here to see if other people want to comment on or have questions on the patron empowerment piece.
I'll just say that Necco is one of our only libraries that doesn't have an OPAC. They only use EDS, which is why they really need patron empowerment because they don't have that other option. So we've been gunning for it for a long time.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there are enough customers that are not EBSCO hosted. So the question is, what would happen if the EBSCO product would improve, but the experience for the non-EBSCO hosted customers would wouldn't? I don't think you would move away from Folio or necessarily migrate your Folio to EBSCO. As a customer, you might move away from EDS. And that seems a bit dangerous for EBSCO to me because that's again associated with the index. You may decide to use a different index if you have the option at that point. And then, yeah, that's, you don't have any EBSCO products, maybe some databases and things like that, but not at the EDS anymore. So I'm wondering if there are enough customers so that this that are not EBSCO hosted, so that this would become a danger for EBSCO, so they actually have to offer these features to non-EBSCO hosted customers.
I think some of these
issues or problems for EBSCO-hosted customers as well, though. Like, I wouldn't just say it's non-EBSCO-hosted. We do have things like reserves that we can't do without locate. So there are issues.
Yes,
Yeah,
and thank you for. Oh, go ahead.
but that's an issue. You would have different issues if you use a different discovery layer, probably. So you might be able to tweak a discovery layer to do everything you want, but that could be a lot of work, so that might not be feasible.
Yeah, and I thank you for bringing up the reserves part, because I do hear that it is. I think part of the confusion is that confusion before, where it's like, we want to advocate for improvements to the EDS project or product, but like I don't want to veer off into two different completely paths, because that makes the advocating harder. Like, we do all want reserves. Like, we have reserves too. It'd be great if they did reserves improvement. But then the question for us always becomes, okay, they did this work. Can we use it? Because we don't know coming down the pipe which EDS fee improvements are going to be for us and which ones are only for EBSCO hosted Folio customers. And that kind of segues into another topic about the API. Maccabee, did you want to discuss kind of what you said last meeting about, once again, this problem of knowing which of the future improvements are going to be available for you as an API user?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Nicole. Yeah, the flip side of the previous discussion, right, is institutions that use a different discovery layer for their article search and use the EDS API to populate that, which as is what we do at Lehigh, and as Byrne said, also gives the opportunity then, in theory, to switch to a different discovery index service, you know, if that is preferable down the road. But in the meantime, we're trying to get the most out of the EDS API, and it has been in our discovery layer in ViewFind. The EDS API has been there for a decade, and EBSCO wrote the first implementation of it, which kudos to EBSCO for being open that way, which is fantastic. And we've continued to evolve it over time, the integration. But there have been a number of interesting features that the EDS UI has been rolling out recently, having to do, and honestly, I forget even the list, but some like semantic searching capabilities and other such things. And we're sort of lacking in a couple of aspects with the ADI, with the API. So first, obviously, we're lacking the actual features like that being available in the EDS API. That's at the most obvious level. There's just a feature parity lack there. But beyond that, there's two meta things that are missing also. There's no roadmap that I'm have visibility to about where those things are on the API roadmap, if there is an API roadmap of oh yes, that's a feature we have planned for fiscal year X. You know, okay, fine, visibility. And then at an even more meta level than that, is the question of how discovery communities like ViewFind, but honestly, anyone who's using the EDS API, so Blacklight and other third-party discovery folks, how they can collectively advocate for those sorts of things, beyond the so right now there's the support ticket capability where each individual institution can create a support ticket and maybe there'll be an enhancement request that comes out of that, but it's individual visibility, right? And then thanks to the discussion last month, you folks clued me in that there's a mailing list for EBSCO user stuff, so I'm on that now, but that's also not. That's much more general. That's not specifically folks who use the EDS API, you know, advocating for collective improvements to that. There's a lot of different ways that kind of thing can be organized. You can have, you know, a forum for that. You can have a sort of a voting website of feature enhancements, you know, to be a Slack channel on some Slack workspace. There's a lot of different ways that vendors can pull that community together. I mean, OCLC, for all the complaining I'll do about them, they at least have a mailing list for their, you know, APIs where people can can ask questions about the improvements. So, and I think I just saw Nicole put in the chat reference to, yeah, we were discussing this at the Mid-Atlantic Users Group. It also came up a little bit at the ViewFind Summit last fall, and Klaus Wolf at EBSCO, who is fantastic, had offered, or he had said that there had been some discussions at EBSCO about trying to figure out how to engage the EDS API community in a better way. And some internal discussions. I think one thing he was talking about was possibly being able to open up the enhancement requests tool to be publicly visible or something like that. But whatever the solutions are, I think it would be great to engage more with EBSCO and hear more about what the plans are for all three of those things. Number one, feature parity. Number two, visibility on what's on the roadmap. And number three, the ability for us to work together, community-wise to advocate for those things.
I'm happy to chime in quickly on a few of those if it's helpful. So for feature parity, that is something we're working on with our goal to add some new features to the API by starting in the fall 2026 timeframe. So what our focus is on adding is adding API endpoints for the AI features that we've added. So AI Insights and Natural Language Search, as well as some of the linked data features that we've recently released, like citations and references. And how we're doing that is our current EDS API is built on a .NET application, which we know is not the most modern system for APIs. Our new user interface is actually built on APIs. So we're going to leverage those new UI API endpoints, which are individual endpoints, externalize those so customers using the API can start to leverage those individual endpoints for features, and it's a more modern and proper way to leverage those. So I'm happy to have, we have a dedicated API product manager. I'm EBSCO happy to have you all meet with him and review the roadmap. And on that roadmap note, we can definitely, it's a great idea to where we have our public roadmaps on EBSCO Connect. Make sure the API is represented on there, either on the platform roadmap or on a create a net new roadmap.
That's fantastic, Bonnie. Thank you both for for updating us in general, and then the specific things you said are all fantastic news. That certainly addresses some of the features you mentioned, are certainly the things that had been front of mind for me that we've learned about recently. So it's great that that's going on. The architectural approach that EBSCO's using, which of course, since we're all Folio folks here, sounds very, very similar, and that certainly makes a lot of sense, the way that it's being approached. So having visibility to that roadmap, would be fantastic. And you know, one of the ways of framing this, Bonnie, is it's, I get the impression sometimes that EBSCO doesn't consider the EDS API as a product in the way that many other things are a product. So there are lots of things where it gets sort of buried in other places. So on your downtime website, you know, there is a separate listing from it, but sometimes its status isn't correct because it's kind of hidden behind the general EDS, you know, status. It doesn't tend to get one of those many, many emails that I get every other day saying this EBSCO service is down, you know, temporarily. But when the API goes down, that doesn't go out, right? So,
That's great. That's a great point, too. Let me see if we can get that updated.
yeah. I mean, to the extent that it's a considered a first order service, that would be fantastic. And then, since you had so many helpful updates on those other things, let me just ask, is there any update on what Klaus had shared about the community aspect of it, and either opening up the enhancement request portal as it exists now, or any other community venue that you would suggest for that?
So like you noted, I think you mentioned our EDS listserv. We do have that, and any EDS customers welcome to join that, and that can be used for any commentary, questions, suggestions for the UI and the API. So that's a great avenue to sign up for. As a whole, we are considering a move to being more open with our enhancement requests, either allowing voting or just showing them. Because if we're clear on what enhancements other customers are showing, it makes it easier for you all to understand them and add yourself to them instead of just hoping you emailed it into support, they understood the problem and added you to the right enhancement or service issue. So that's something we are considering, not just for the API, but across all of our products.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Even the voting part would be fantastic, but even just the visibility part, it provides, mailing lists are great, but it's different than having a list, right? It's different than having a list of saying, here's the features people have requested, and even if it's a manual process of us emailing support and saying, please add us to that, to be able to see there's 100 different institutions that wanted that feature since 1994, right? Or, and I think it can also, I mean, I think it's a good marketing tool probably for EBSCO to be able to say that, right? But it can also, to the extent that there is that second class citizen feeling of those of us using the API versus those using the UI, seeing both the roadmap and the enhancement requests can help us understand where EBSCO's thinking of this stuff is, how the roadmap is being sourced. In other words, is a big chunk of the roadmap coming from the things that customers are requesting, as opposed to the, potentially other work that EBSCO is doing for different reasons. And so they can help with that relationship.
Yep, I completely agree. And for those new endpoints I talked about around AI and linked data, we are going to be doing a beta period probably in the late summer, early fall. So if any of you are API users and want to be added to that, I'll throw my contact info in chat and just shoot me an email and I can get you added.
And I also put the ER in the enhancement request. If you haven't emailed customer support and you're an EBSCO customer to be added to that enhancement request, please do because that was recently put in the email listserv for EBSCO, which has been a great start, I think, for this type of communication to happen where we get together and we talk about features we're wanting to see. And we kind of, even in talking to each other, evolve our own understanding of exactly what we want. Because, I mean, back to the periodicals collect. Question. I have so many questions about how do we want periodicals displaying? And I think a lot of this is just dependent on how your library is using periodicals. Do you even check them out? Do you not check them out? There's a mil there's not a million fields, but there's enumeration fields, there's volume fields, there's a lot of different fields, and different people are using those types of fields. But yes, thank you for that. I put some in the notes, so it looks like API roadmap seems like a possibility in the future for sure. API alerts as well for the system being down, as well being a possibility for the future. And then that enhancement voting, which would be, or at least being able to see each other's enhancement request or the scope of enhancement request would be very helpful for advocating going forward. I think we still have this question of enhancement requests, like how do we clearly communicate things that are available for specific customers? So API is a completely different product, so we can treat it as a different product, right? Like, well, and it's not completely different. I don't want to say that, but you can have it could have its own roadmap. I think it'd be like a stretch to ask for non-EBSCO hosted Folio to have their own roadmap, right? Like that doesn't quite make sense. But what would be the best way to communicate like that something is only available for your EBSCO hosted customers?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something I'm going to bring back. We can probably on our platform roadmap on EBSCO Connect for anything that is ILS centric or on the locate roadmap, we can probably add a note or a flag on each roadmap card.
That would be great because I think there was some movement there. It was for a while, it was like ICS only. And then it kind of moved away from that, which I agree with because a lot of people don't know what ICS means. And it became for EBSCO customers only. I forget the exact wording, but then it wasn't consistent. So there are some things still on there where I don't know for sure. So yeah, having a flag for that differentiation. Is there anything that's available? I guess you do have that separate locate roadmap. So if it's locate only, for example, if there's a reserves functionality, but it's only available for those who have locate, that would just be on the separate roadmap, correct?
Correct. So anything on the separate locate roadmap would only be available to EBSCO-hosted Folio customers at this point.
Perfect. Okay. So that was kind of the things I wanted to go over. Are there any other features that I'm not thinking of, missing, that are kind of just available for EBSCO hosted customers.
Hey,
And I'm
Nicole,
just, oh yeah.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to correct one thing I said before or clarify it a little bit. On the EBSCO status page, there is a separate item for the EDS API as opposed to the EDS itself. It's just that in my experience, it's not always actually accurate. When the EDS API goes down, it does that status is not set to disoperational. It's only the regular EDS status that's set to non-operational, right? So I end up monitoring both. So just Bonnie, for your if you're discussing that with anyone, it's not that the status doesn't exist. It's just that it doesn't seem to be treated the same as the others. Just to
Yep,
clarify.
that's
Thank you.
helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do love that stat. I love that status page. Anytime a vendor doesn't have a status page, I'm like, why? So we do use that quite a bit. And thank you for that clarification, Maccabee. I put that in the notes.
Regarding your previous question, I am a little confused about displaying licensing terms in EDS because we implemented this for Simmons, and from what I recall, there were like two versions of it for EDS, like two places where you could display it. Like one was Publication Finder, and then the other was Exact Match Placard. And I think one of them we were able to do, and then the other one we weren't, or something. But I'm not sure if that's still the case.
Let me check in on that one. I just took a note, so I'll shoot. I'll
Okay.
reach out via Slack or email.
Okay. Sounds good.
That is very interesting because we have the Publication Finder one. We do not have the, is it the placard that
Yeah, I
it's
think the placard
integrated?
was the one that we couldn't do.
Writing that down because I'm like, I didn't know there was
Okay.
a placard one.
Yeah. I'll put the there's an FAQ I just found. I'll put that in the
Beautiful.
chat.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, any others like that that people know about where there's something they cannot do with? EDS that they know EBSCO hosted customers can do, or even that they've seen on the like roadmap, they just have never figured out how to make it active in their EDS environment. Okay, and then I think another communication for the discovery sig, Bonnie, is also how does the discovery sig know when something is like a marketing decision, there's like nothing we can do to help, versus when maybe it's a decision that has to deal with how the API is right now, where there's maybe a Jira we can champion or something we can do to improve the technical aspects to make the programming better from your side.
Yeah, I think we can brainstorm some ways here to better communicate that so people understand it. And then it's almost like a firm answer so that you understand, like you were noting, and not just say, oh, well, should I keep submitting Jira tickets or issues or asking my EBSCO team when it will become available? So we can definitely do a better job on that.
Cool. That would be very helpful. Okay. And so Maccabee, you're saying the mailing should work as long as the API is being updated on the status page.
Yeah, I just shared this tool that I use to monitor the status page, which again only works if EBSCO updates the status page. But since they at least update the regular EDS one, usually, sometimes, most of the time, when the API goes down, I just monitor both of them.
Gotcha.
I don't like some people, I think, would even do some automatic pushing to be fine. I think Damien, you might do something like that. I think Peter Murray has talked about that, but I just do it for my own knowledge. So if I get support issues with the articles tab, I know what's going on.
Yeah, any other questions from our API users of the EDS API about kind of alerts or just knowing what's going to be available for you with that? Does that kind of having a roadmap kind of help with some of that communication? Okay, beautiful. Let me just go over here. See, make sure I went kind of covered everything you wanted to cover. Great. So I think we did, and just wanted to pause one more, another time. Any other questions or like thoughts about EDS features in general and communication around EDS features?
I guess what's the best way to see like a roadmap of features that we will have access to?
So the best way to see a roadmap is on our public roadmap on Connect. We
Mm-hmm.
update that on a bi-weekly basis. So it's just roadmap.ebsco.com, or if you go to the Connect homepage. And we note in there you can filter to EDS features or any EBSCO host features for any database enhancements.
Okay. Thank you. That's good to know.
And I also
Okay.
just noted in chat, I just confirmed on the side the license term exact match placard is available to any Folio customer, regardless of hosting provider.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Thank you. That's good to know.
Yeah, and I think going forward, Elena, is just going to be interesting to see kind of the communicate. I use the roadmap a lot. Like I love that roadmap. Thank you so much for the roadmap. It's great. So anything that could be used to make that roadmap clear about what is available for us and what is not available for us, right? Like a flag, an icon, like something consistent, I think will really help with that communication going forward.
Yeah, happy to do that.
And I appreciate what you said, Bonnie, about seeing if the API can be added as a product, right? So that list. Also, I'm filtering right now on the EDS filter, and I'm not seeing anything API related there, which either is accurate, but as you just said, it's not accurate, so therefore
Yep.
it's just not represented.
Yep. Let me get those added. I have some, a lot of, t I'm sending a lot of Teams messages during this meeting to my PMs going, we need to do this. Can we do this? So we should have that update, I'd say probably in a week or so.
Thank you again.
But yeah, well, once again, kudos for the roadmap and kudos for the email of the serve. Like that has just been an enormous help. So I think these are just kind of seeing that we have the work we have there that's been done. And adding on to, like, I think especially the enhancement request voting is just something that's in other products and people are really excited about. Even ViewFind, Damien, do we? I don't think ViewFind does enhancement request voting, but ViewFind does have a very, very nice yearly conversation where you can advocate for your favorite.
And we do have a Jira where you can vote for things at any time.
I can't vote on the JIRA.
You should write to me then so I can give you permission to vote.
I don't know, Tara, do you want me voting on that JIRA?
You could
All in
also just
favor
add a
of voting.
comment, Nicole, that says, Damien, build this now, exclamation mark, you know.
Yeah, I don't have any access to the ViewFind JIRA. I'm kind of scared to add myself.
It's quite annoying to me that this was designed to be public and Atlassian keeps locking things down in ways we don't want them to.
I just added text to the ViewFind wiki on how to create a ViewFind Jira account. I will share that link with you, Nicole.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
like 3 days ago. Yeah, I hit that. I hit Atlassian.
Like I've experienced worse. We're in the middle ground with that product right now. Yeah, any other questions or comments about just like does Blacklight have, I know Blacklight's different, right? Like, but I assume they have their own method, Sarah, for this type of conversation.
Can you be more specific? Sorry, maybe
Right. So if a Blacklight
it
customer wants something done to Blacklight, like for the whole community, How does that
Yeah.
process work?
Well, it's more like it's all open source, right? So it's you contribute code up to the code base, and hopefully it's written in a way that lots of people can take advantage of it or not. It's a little different. And then different institutions contribute code in different ways and at different differing amounts. So Stanford tries to be a good community member and contribute code, but doesn't always happen. You have the option to fix locally and or contribute up to the code base.
Just in case anyone's listening from one of these, three separate EBSCO, Blacklight, or ViewFind products and wants to know like how to contribute.
Blacklight's its own animal, so I would say.
Yeah, I don't think there's a standard Blacklight folio repo anywhere, but
No. No. We just have friends that we reach out to in different places.
Yeah, and then there's always the people who like do their own thing, right? It's not black, it's just their custom code and they're just using the APIs. So
Yeah, I would
they
say that more often Blacklight is people solving problems on their own and then thinking like, how can we write this in a way that might be adopted by other people? But most of the time you're just writing it for yourself, and then if you see something that Cornell does that's cool, you reach out to them and say, can we have your code? Or where is your code in the community?
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense that run that way. Well, excellent. I do want to note that we are coming up on the hour. So just thank you so much, everybody, for your participation, your thoughts. If there are things you want to add after this meeting to the meeting minutes, feel free to go in and add those as well, if you've come across extra information. And is there before we go, any last questions or updates? Doesn't have to be about this discussion, but just in general for Discovery Sig.
I just wanted to note that I looked at the minutes from last call and added some labels to tickets that I hadn't done before. So sorry for not doing that sooner.
And apologies for not asking you to do it, Damien. And also, this is another. I was going to get on the Jira and be able to do it myself, but I, once again, have not assigned myself that task. So thank you for doing that. Any other questions or comments? And Bernd, I did ask a product owner about the community dashboard, and I posted that response in the chat. Did you have any follow-up questions you want me to go to them with?
Do you mean the chat in this session, or where did you
Oh,
post?
just the generic discovery chat. Basically, they told me that they are going to be doing stuff with the community dashboard, but it's to be determined. So they don't quite know what the form is going to look like, but they do want to do stuff. So it's kind of a pause for now.
Okay.
All right, well, good to see everybody. I will see you again, I believe, in 2 weeks. And yeah, thank you again. Have a good
Thanks,
afternoon.
everyone.